A man named Laban had two daughters, Leah and Rachel, both beautiful girls. Leah was the oldest, Rachel the youngest. But Jacob loved Rachel. He told Laban, "I'll work for you for 7 years if you give me Rachel." And Laban said, "All right then." So Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years. Said it only seemed like a few days. Kids in love, ain't it sweet? Then Jacob said to Laban, "Rachel is mine now. I did the work, give me the girl." And Laban said, "All right then." And they lived happily ever after. I just love a good Bible story, don't you?
Really? That's what you think happened? Whew, talk about going off script. Okay, yes, there were two daughters, and yes, 7 years, and yes, they were both gorgeous. Although it does say Leah had the tired eyes, so. But after 7 years, Laban did not give Rachel to Jacob. He gave him Leah, because she was oldest. And Jacob was like, and Laban was like, and Jacob was like, so Laban's like, "All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. You work for another 7 years, and I'll give you Rachel too." And Jacob did, because 14 years, but two pretty girls. Not too shabby. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm always amazed and even excited for the many ways that we can bring scripture to life. For those of you who are just joining for the first time, my name is Javon Caldwell Gross, and I'm the teaching and guest experience pastor. And today we begin a new series called Off Script: The Blessing in the Unexpected. So let us just join in for a quick word of prayer. In fact, you don't even have to close your eyes, but I believe that this prayer will not only bless us today, but even just a prayer that can take us through the rest of the series. So Lord, I pray that in this series, Off Script, that nothing will go as planned, but everything will go according to your will. Amen. Amen. So humor me if you will. Now, if you are using the chat, I invite you to type in the answers. But if not, you can say the answers aloud to those around you, or you can even whisper them to yourself. But for those of you who know, I love the interaction and the back and forth, and I would love to feel that today. So listen, we invite you to use the chat, but let's just have a conversation. So let's see if you can guess these iconic lines from these scenes. So in this intense courtroom scene, Tom Cruise's character plays a young lawyer that's trying to uncover an unexplained death that has happened in the military. And upon cross-examination, he is backing his witness into a corner, and despite several objections, he demands that he wants to know the truth. And the iconic line from Colonel Nathan Jessup emphatically proclaims, type it in, say it out loud, he emphatically proclaims, "You can't handle the truth." Now, some of you got one for one. I'm impressed. That's not bad. But let's look at the next one. Now, this movie came out in 1997. It did quite well in the box office. Some of you went on the date to see this movie. It's about the story of the ship that was supposedly unsinkable. It was heart-wrenching. It gripped at your emotions. It'll make any grown man cry. But listen, let's see if you can recognize this one. In this scene, we find the unassuming Leonardo DiCaprio standing at the edge of the ship that was supposed to be unsinkable with his arms out wide and proclaims, "I'm king of the world." All right, some of you got two for two. I'm almost just as impressed. Now listen, for this last one, you've got to get this one right. If you don't get this last one right, we're going to stop service. Something is wrong, right? So listen. Now some of you have seen this before. It's not a movie, but it's from a scene that you should recognize. And you may have recognized it because a few months ago, we had a guest pastor in here by the name of Rudy Rasmus who showed us this image. It's the March on Washington that happened in 1963, and Dr. King was delivering a speech, and it was falling flat. It was falling on deaf ears. Now, if you can just imagine that, right? One of the greatest orators of our time, his message wasn't going anywhere. So out from the crowd, Mahalia Jackson screams out, "Tell him about the dream, Martin." And the name of this speech has become one of the most well-known speeches, and the name is, please tell me you're getting this right, type it in, say it out loud, whisper to those, even if you're by yourself, right? Hopefully you got 3 out of 3. Now, each of these things have something in common. Want to know what's interesting about this and many other iconic and memorable lines? Did you know that none of the lines were written into the script? They were the product of what happens when someone actually went off script. What's odd is that the writers literally spend months and weeks and even years crafting the perfect scripts and the perfect lines with the perfect transitions. And yet, what is the most memorable was not something that was actually written into the script, right? What is the most recognizable and memorable moments on the movie screen is when the actor went off script. But maybe what's true on the big screen is actually a reality in our everyday lives, which is why we begin today with our new series entitled Off Script, because I'm going out on a limb, and don't leave me out there by myself, I'm going out on a limb to suggest that no one watching, and I don't care how long you've been in church, no one watching can say with complete certainty that life has always gone according to plan. It has not gone according to the script that we wrote for ourselves, because let's be honest, we spend days and weeks and months and even years perfecting the perfect script with the perfect transitions and the perfect lines. Thus, we all have scripts. Truth is, somebody asked you one day, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And from that day on, we sat down and we started writing. We scripted what we wanted to do, where we wanted to live, what kind of car we wanted to drive, the kind of house we wanted to live in, what school we wanted to attend, what degree we wanted to obtain, how we wanted to change the world in using that degree, because Lord forbid we would end up doing something that was not aligned with our degree. And depending on what you wrote in your script, maybe there was a family involved, but only after we were financially secure, of course, right? Because that's what we scripted. We even scripted the kind of kids we wanted to have. We scripted the kind of people they were going to be when they grew up, and the schools they were going to go to, and the professions that they were going to have. And of course, in our script, we added a perfect bill of health. In our script, we lived until we were 100 years old, because that's what we had in our script. We would change the world and leave a living legacy. And then we enthusiastically, we ran out into the world with our script in hand, and then quickly realized that things don't always go according to script. Truth is, this year is really an example of what happens every day of our lives. No one came into the year of 2020 and scripted a global pandemic and then critical turning points in our country around topics of race and injustice. Nobody, absolutely nobody, could have scripted that. And yet, as people who are used to scripted expectations, we are often left wondering that in the midst of all of the unplanned and unexpected moments, how do I then find God, or where do I find God when life goes off script? Truth is, no one knows this better than Jacob, because by the time we get to our story, we find Jacob running from his mistakes. Truth is, it sounds familiar to some of us, because he recently stole his brother's birthright and his inheritance. And let's just say that his older brother Esau wasn't the most forgiving sibling around. So Jacob goes to live with his uncle Laban. Now, when he gets to his uncle Laban's house, when he gets to the land, you've got to know that Laban had two daughters, one Rachel and one Leah. Can you say that with me? Can you say Leah? Say Rachel. Now Leah was the oldest daughter, and Rachel was the youngest daughter. And the truth is, Jacob didn't want Leah. Jacob wanted Rachel. It was Rachel that caught his eye. And from that moment, when he saw Rachel, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was her smile. Maybe it was her accent. Maybe it was the way she carried herself. But for some reason, there was something about Rachel that caught Jacob's eye. And from that moment, Jacob started writing Rachel into his script. Truth is, we're no strangers to writing Rachel into our own scripts, because we've all been mesmerized by something so much that it drew our attention. We saw something from afar, and we went right and put it in our script. Because Rachel now becomes the goal, the dream, the vision, the aspirations, and the expectations. It looks so good that we write it into our scripts. In fact, you want to hear something crazy? I'm just going to confess that in my own script, what I wrote in my script was that I would absolutely not marry another preacher. I mean, that's what I just had in my script. That didn't go so well. I also wrote in my script that I was going to wait at least 2 years after I got married to have kids. I wanted to travel and see the world. Not like the 6 months that originally happened, right? Or I also wrote in my script, that I was not going to have more than 2 kids. So, needless to say, mine didn't go so well. But what kind of things did you have in your script? What kind of life were you supposed to live? Where were you supposed to be at this point in your life? Now remember, Laban had two daughters. One was Leah and one was Rachel. Jacob didn't want Leah. Jacob wanted Rachel. It was Rachel was the one that he had wrote in his script. So he makes a deal with his uncle Laban. He works a deal and says, if I work for 7 years, then I'll get to marry Rachel. So that was the deal. But here's why it can be so hard to deal with the unexpected and unplanned moments in our lives. Because Jacob did everything right. They make a deal for him to work 7 years, so that's exactly what he does. He works for 7 years. He shows up on time every day. He never takes any vacations. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He did everything right. In fact, the Bible says that for Jacob, it only seemed like a few days through those 7 years. Because remember, Rachel was the one that he wrote in his script. But on the night of the wedding, now listen, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how it happened practically, and it's still a mystery to me. The Bible doesn't say, but Uncle Laban decides that it's unfair to give Rachel away before he gives the oldest daughter Leah away. That wasn't their custom. So he devises a scheme. And when he devises a scheme, some commentators suggest that maybe it was due to their custom of wearing a veil, or maybe Jacob had too much fun at his own wedding. I don't know what it was, but what I do know is that sometimes disappointment does come veiled as opportunities. What I do know is that sometimes heartache comes veiled as hope. What I do know is that not everything is always clear in our lives. There is nothing like disguised frustration. Whatever the reason was, he didn't notice an important detail about this wedding. And listen, I'm not suggesting that you do this in your own home. I'm not suggesting that, right? But there was one important detail that Jacob missed in his own wedding. In the morning, Jacob rolls over. Now remember, Laban had two daughters. One was Leah. That's not the one he wanted. And the other one was Rachel. He works for 7 years to marry what was in his script. And yet on his wedding night, he wakes up in the next morning, rolls over, and is expecting to see Rachel next to him. And instead, in the morning, it was Leah. He wakes up to the very thing that he didn't want. And that right there is the source of so much frustration. It's the one thing that challenges our faith. It stretches our trust in God. It is where hope is lost. It's in that disappointing space between my expectations and my experience. I expected to be married for 50 years, but I'm experiencing a divorce. We expected our children to be so well-mannered and so well-behaved and to actually listen to reason, but now we experience these small people who seem to have a mind of their own, right? We expect to live in a world where everyone is valued, but that's not what we experience. It's that gap between what we expect and what we experience that is the source of so much disappointment and frustration in our lives. This is not what Jacob had written in his script. Leah wasn't in anybody's script. Because who writes Leah into their script? I mean, come on, let's be honest. We know the Lord. We're watching online, but nobody writes broken hearts into their script. Nobody writes infertility or cancer or divorce or setbacks or addiction or estrangements or illness or layoffs. Nobody writes those things into their script. Nobody with a reasonable mind sits down and writes Leah into the script. It's just not reasonable. It's not rational. Now, it's not in there, so I'm going to take some homiletical liberties. I'm going to use my homiletical imagination and read between the lines. We can do that every once in a while. Because I wonder if Jacob asked the question when he woke up next to Leah, I wonder if he asked the question, now what in the world did I do wrong? Did he not work hard enough? Was he not clear enough? Was I not deserving? Maybe Jacob thought that maybe his past had finally caught up to him. Maybe this was God's way of paying him back for stealing the birthright and the inheritance of Esau. Isn't it tempting to sometimes internalize the presence of life going off script as if we have done something wrong or we have done something to prevent it? Because Jacob did everything right. Laban said, work for 7 years, and he worked for 7 years. And here's the hard reality. Listen, I don't want you to press that little X. I want you to stay with me. I don't want you to leave the screen because I know it's hard, and it's a reminder that you can do everything right and things still not go as planned. Let's see, we can go to church, check. We can pray regularly, check. We can be good people, check. We can be kind to people that we don't know, check. We can go to all the right schools, check. We can be great parents, check. We can say and do all the right things, and that does not guarantee that our lives will go according to the script. Because faith does not guarantee a perfect script. You can work really hard for 7 years and do things exactly right and still wake up in the morning with the very things that you don't want. So now what do you do? What do you do now when life gives you what you don't want? What happens when you wake up next to Leah? Well, look at what Jacob does. And this is important because Jacob has options. Somebody say options. Jacob has options now. He can spend the rest of his life bitter, wanting a script that was never going to happen, or he could discount Leah because it wasn't what he had planned, or diminish the possibilities of Rachel because things didn't happen according to the way the script had anticipated. Because the temptation that existed for Jacob is the same one that exists for us. It is the temptation to judge the quality of our lives and the presence of God based on whether or not it's fitting the script. Because we unconsciously evaluate the course of our lives and even the paths of our children and even the credibility of God on how well life is playing out according to the script. You see, now the script becomes the measure by which we view our lives. It becomes the measure by which we view our relationships and whether or not God is truly present in our lives. We can only find joy if it's found in the script. We can only find meaning if it's in the script. We can only find fulfillment if it's in the script. So now the goal is no longer trying to follow God's will, but rather living out the script. And those two things are never synonymous, because I can be living the script and still be outside of God's will. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with having dreams, but it becomes problematic when that becomes the driving force by which everything, including the validity and the credibility of our faith, is determined. Because sometimes we put more faith in the script than we do in our faith with God. Because some of us, we would do anything for the script. We would give our lives for the script. Because for some of us, it's either all or nothing. It's either all a script or nothing. If we can't have life the way that we envision, then we don't want life at all. Because if we can't have the script, then we don't want anything else. But what we are saying is that we don't believe God can bless us any other way except according to what's in the script. So Jacob goes back to Laban and he starts renegotiating. I'm always reminded of the power of renegotiating anytime we put our kids to sleep, 3, 7, and 8. And they know how to negotiate when it's bedtime. This means they need another drink of water. They've got to use the bathroom. They got to get their favorite blanket. They've always got to say goodnight to mommy. They've got to say goodnight to each other. Every night they know how to renegotiate. And I believe that Jacob had the same power of renegotiation. He goes back to Laban and says, how about I work another 7 years to marry Rachel? Now, this is not the life he planned, church. This is not the life he planned. This is not the life he has scripted, but it was the one that he now had to live. And so many of us forfeit the life we have to live because we're so focused on the life that we planned. But don't let the life that we planned mess up and destroy the life that we're trying to live, because the hardest thing for many people is to move on from the life they thought they wanted. Now listen, stay with me. Don't you dare turn off the screen. Don't press that little X at the top of the screen. Let me say it again. The hardest thing for many people to do, the hardest thing for them to do is to move away from the life that they thought they wanted. Because sometimes faith forces us and encourages us to say goodbye to the life I thought I was going to live. From the moment he wakes up, Jacob knows that this is not going according to script. So here's what's going to be the hardest thing that many of us have ever done. In fact, on the surface, it's going to seem like you are giving up and surrendering, but that is not the case. This is going to be really hard for some of us because we have spent so long and so many days and years writing the script of our lives. On the surface, it's going to seem like the circumstances around us are dictating the course and the direction of our lives, but that's not the case. Because Jacob gives us a very important lesson. He gives us a very important lesson because sometimes the most difficult part of the script is actually tearing it up. Sometimes the most difficult part of our faith journey is having the courage to rip up the script. Because it takes a whole lot of faith maybe to write it, but it also takes faith to rip it up. Now, I know what you're thinking. I already know what you're thinking. Because some of you are thinking, but what happens to my hopes and what happens to my dreams? Am I giving up on all of the things that I wrote down? Absolutely not. Because it takes courage to say goodbye to the life we thought we were going to live, not because we are letting go of our dreams, not because we are letting go of faith, not because we are letting go of hope, but we're now leaving it in God's hands. You're not giving up, you're just surrendering. What you are saying is that perhaps God wants to bless you and to bless us with something that doesn't seem like it was written in our script. It is trusting God enough to know that things cannot go as scripted and still be a part of God's plan. Let me say that again. It is trusting God enough to know that things cannot go as scripted and still be a part of God's plan. It is trusting that God's plan is better than my script. Sometimes the hardest part of living God's will is letting go of our own. It's the willingness to marry Leah, to take care of Leah, to renegotiate with Laban, and then to work another 7 years. Faith is being willing to find God, not in the script, but off script. Now listen, I'm clairvoyant. I know what you're saying. I can hear it. I can feel it. I can read it in the chat. I can read it on the screen. I know what some of you are saying. Pastor, how do you know that this is part of God's will? Because some of you have read the text and you don't see a whole lot of God language. I read your minds. I know what you're thinking. But maybe, perhaps, the literary absence of the name of God highlights the spiritual truth that sometimes it's hard to recognize God when we wake up next to Leah. It's hard to find God when we wake up to those things that we did not even expect. But I would suggest that sometimes answering God's call requires us to rip up the script that we have for our lives. Sometimes finding real joy and real fulfillment, and sometimes finding joy in our relationships, it requires the willingness and the courage to rip up those scripts. In fact, how can there be a blessing in waking up next to Leah? How can there be a blessing in ripping up the script? Well, I'm glad somebody asked. In fact, I knew somebody was going to ask, so I want you to watch this. Now remember, Laban had two daughters. One was Leah, somebody say Leah, and the other was Rachel. Somebody say Rachel. Now, when Jacob marries Leah, they have four children. They have four children: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Now let's fast forward. In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus, and tells where the lineage of Jesus Christ comes from and starts off from Abraham all the way to Mary and Joseph. And you find a lot of names, so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, a bunch of names that we can't pronounce, that we don't remember. I mean, that's the part of the Bible that we normally skip over anyway. But now you find, if you go back to Matthew chapter 1, you find that in the beginning of the genealogy of Jesus, you find that Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Did you catch that? Right? Did you catch that? Remember, Jacob didn't want Leah, but Jacob wanted Rachel. But Leah has four children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. The line of Jesus came from Leah. Was this the way that Jacob has scripted? Absolutely not. Did he plan to wake up next to Leah? Absolutely not. And yet the blessing did not come from what was scripted, but when life went off script. The Savior of the world came from a situation that no one wanted. When Jacob woke up that morning and realized it was Leah, he never imagined that God was going to use this unexpected, unplanned moment that went totally off script to bless the entire world. Because sometimes getting what God desires for our lives means we have to be open to not getting what we want. Was this a part of Jacob's script? Absolutely not. Was this what Jacob had planned for his life? Absolutely not. And yet, did God use this unplanned moment that was born out of frustration, out of disappointment? Did God use that to bring about the Savior of the world? Absolutely. Writers literally spend weeks and months and sometimes years writing the perfect script. And yet sometimes the most memorable and impactful moments are filled with these unforeseen blessings that come from the moments that happen off script.
When I was writing the script for my life, I never thought it would include infertility or adoption or two amazing kids or a special needs child or even living in Indiana. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
When I was writing the script for my life, I never thought it would include being told that I had a very rare form of cancer for which no successful treatment had been developed. No, having cancer is not what I would have scripted for my life, but I have truly been changed for the better. I see clearly now what it really is important to me: God, family, and friends.
When I was writing the script for my life, I never thought it would include losing my job and sense of security because of a pandemic, being forced to shelter in place for months without a dog, cat, hamster, fish, or even a turtle to keep me company, masking like a superhero when venturing out, being separated from family and friends. But learning to Zoom for God with my St. Luke's family and friends has brought unexpected blessings and hope.
When I wrote the script for my life, I never imagined that it would entail me being a single mom by choice to two boys and all of the madness that that entails.
If God always fulfills my expectations, God never has a chance to exceed them.